Thanks for joining us online, those that joined us live online. Let's look at the Word of God. Now we're going to make some transitions here. So we're going into the New Testament today. We're going to go into the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 13. I was reading my devotions like all of us do, and you're just reading along, and sometimes you ever scratch your head and go, not sure if I fully understand that. And so you spend a bit of time, do a bit of research, you know, kind of cross scripture, cross context, cross culture, cross, you know, circumstances. And so you want to look at all of it. You want to look at the whole context because you want to get a full picture of what's being taught here. And so in Matthew chapter 13, it's in verse 44. We'll probably land there for a little bit here. I need to give you a bit of context. When we jump into the story, we understand what we're reading here. So most people believe, I think it's really clear here, that who is Jesus speaking to? Who's the crowd that's hearing Jesus speak of these parables? I think it's really clear here. So Matthew 13, verse 51, it says, "Have you understood all these things?" as a question Jesus is asking somebody. "Yes," they replied. I really believe, I think it's clear that Jesus is speaking to his disciples. So he's speaking to Christians. He's speaking to you and I today as we look at the story. So he's speaking to somebody that should understand that. And so when we look at the parable of these stories, like, where does it land in Scripture, though? Because we know that when the Scriptures were written, there wasn't all these, like, numbers and letters and subheadings. It was just a story. And so where does it stand out? And I think these four parables fit together nicely because we would see that there's a word again. So the first thing we see about the kingdom of heaven is like, that's the first parable, and then we see again the kingdom of heaven is like, and it says once again the kingdom of heaven is like. So all four of these parables, forget the subheadings, I think they all fit together and they're all trying to teach us something, because at the end of it, it'll say therefore, and a therefore is recapping what everything was said about, and then so I want to kind of get to there. So let's look at it. I've got a bit of context there. Matthew here is writing. Jesus is speaking. Verse 44. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." Again, we see here's a second thing. "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it." Once again, third parable, "The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then he sat down and collected the good fish in baskets and threw the bad fish away." This is speaking of the end times. I won't spend a lot of time here, but this is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. "Have you understood all these things?" Jesus is asking his disciples. And they answered, "Yes." And when I read those three parables, I'm not sure I give a yes answer when I read that originally. I thought, I think I'm pretty sure. Maybe one. If I get two of three, I'm passing. It's a passing grade, right? But do we understand all three of those parables? So that in the recap of this, verse 52, he said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." And I think I don't really want to say 100%. I know exactly what that says when I first read it, but I sure do now. And so I want to share all that with you. So we're going to look at a bunch of moving parts here. And I think maybe as a previous non-believer, non-Christian for a lot of years, when I look about that, the very first parable, we think about hidden treasure, pearl, net, old and new treasures. Let's focus on hidden treasure first for quite a bit of time because there's a lot there. I think the first thing I think about when I look at that as a non-believer, I think, is Jesus trying to say then, if you find a good deal or you kind of go out and you find something, obtain it by being dishonest? Don't tell the landowner what you really found in his field. Just quickly snap it up and buy it. Finders keepers, right? Is that what the Bible's trying to teach us? What kind of message is this? You know, like we would ask these kind of questions. I don't believe that's probably what Jesus is trying to teach us. So what is he trying to teach us? He's not there to defend or promote that thinking. But what he's really talking about is, as we see at the end of both of these first, the kingdom of heaven is like, and they gave it all up. They gave up everything. They said, this is so valuable. I'm giving the boat. I mean, I'm just being silly with you now. I'm giving, like, whatever. You were willing to give up everything. Now, I don't know what you did before you found Jesus. But when I found Christ and I found his word and the love of Jesus in my life, It was easy to give up those other things. Because when I found the love of God and his scripture and his word, the joy and the happiness and the peace that I found, I looked at the other stuff I was doing in my life, trying to find joy and happiness and peace. It was disgusting. There's no more value in it. I thought, I don't even need that in my life anymore because this thing is so worthy. This is a hidden treasure that I found one day, and I was willing to give it all up. You don't kind of like, well, I found a bit of joy and happiness over here, and then I'll add Jesus to that. Like, no, no, no. You put Jesus in the house, and Jesus is the only person in the house. Everything else got to go. You know, it's like you're moving out. Pack everything else up, truck it away, because you found Christ. Nothing else is more valuable. Nothing else is more worthy and more of a treasure in our life. What kind of things are like treasure to us? So if we found that kind of inheritance and that treasure so quickly in life, all of a sudden, imagine if you just all of a sudden, like, please don't buy lottery tickets or anything like that. I'm not trying to say that gamble. Like, you know, all of a sudden, you just got this crazy inheritance. You had like $1 million overnight. What would happen to you? Now, instantly, the type of food that I eat would be different around my table. I promise you that. The quality of food around my table would be much higher. I'd be, you know, enjoying that. The type of vehicle that I drive, I promise you, I already know the model and the make and the color that I would drive. It would be a blessing. I would drive you around, I promise, you know, in Jesus' name. No, I'm like, be silly. Like, the type of vacations that I go on, you know, I go to Prince George and stay in a best restaurant hotel, or you get the free breakfast and there's a little water slide. I tell you, the place that I would go stay at would not be in Prince George. It would be somewhere else in Jesus' name where there would be a whole bunch of water slides and it would be warm outside. You wouldn't have to stay inside to draw on your water slide. So you see all the different changes in your life if you seriously had financial. But what about spiritual? What's really changed for us? Like when we found God, when we found that treasure, is it like nothing else? I was talking about things that are tangible, things that we could feel and taste and see. But what about in the spiritual realm, those things I can't see? You can't even put into words the type of joy and peace that you find in this thing. And when we look at it as treasure, when we find it, do we... Oh, baby, yes, in Jesus' name. We got to just find that. We just want that. We'll give up anything for it. Are we feeling that way about it? Is there this earnestness? Because it's so valuable to us, we're willing to give up anything. And the disciples, when Jesus said that, they said, I understand what you're saying. Because things like this happened at that time when the disciples were kicking and hanging out together. So people would all of a sudden become rich overnight. Because during the time when the disciples walked around, there used to be wars and famines and very challenging times. So people would go in and plunder and pillage certain places. And then they would say, there's no bank around here. Darn it, what am I going to do? I'm going to stick it in a cave. I'm going to stick it in a hole. I'm going to stick it under a tree. And sometimes those people would pass away or something would happen. And all of a sudden, around the world, we know that. Around the world, even to today, we're still digging and we're looking and people are like, there's sitcoms and shows and movies about people trying to find this thing on certain islands or, you know, all kinds of places. They're trying to find this treasure. But where is it? You know, where can I find this treasure? I find it right here. I find it in scripture. I know when Almy and I lived in Whitehorse for all those years, we were close to Dawson City. We'd go up there. And the amount of ounces of gold that still come out of Dawson City is unbelievable. And what people will do is they'll just start drilling. They'll buy this big piece of property. They'll start doing drill holes. And then they'll find, oh, look, there's a bit of gold right there. And they're hoping that there's a vein of gold somewhere. And they'll just start digging all around, trying to find, where's that vein going? You know, start digging this way and digging that way. The amount of effort and money that's spent on that just to try and find that. Did you know that when we look at Scripture, Scripture is like this vein of blessing, this vein of just spiritual fruit. So when we look at just this one scripture, it's like, oh, I remember. That kind of relates to it. I think about because it's just so rich in Jesus' name. Every time you open it, no matter which book or which verse you open it, it speaks of just the blessing of God in it. And so I want to be a part of that. I want some of that action. I want to dig around and look around. And so how much are we willing to do that for? Now, on a personal level, Amelie and I, when we were in Whitehorse, we started having kids. And so kids started coming out. You know, we had four kids up there. But in the beginning, we had two kids, and we were like, this old car and two car seats, like, it's just not going to work anymore. So we started saving up, and I've got some photos. I don't want to show it to you, though. Don't put it up. No, take it down. I was just joking. I don't want to show that one. That's terrible. This year, I really wanted to share them with you, but I just feel like it's out of context. No, don't put it up there. I'm serious. This is my daughter on the thing, you know, so take it down, man. You're going to get us in trouble. Okay, so for real, I know, where is this going exactly? That's why I was like, I don't want to put it up. There's such a distraction for you now. We got to edit that out later. But anyways, we'll figure that out later. So for a whole year, though, Almy and I skimped and scraped and sacrificed. We had a set of dog clippers that I bought at Walmart years ago, and so we would buzz instead of paying for haircuts. So we'd buzz our kids. We started having daughters, and we probably shouldn't do that. That'd be terrible. A wife would just like, you got to draw a line somewhere. So anyways, you know, all the kind of things that we didn't do, or maybe the vacation we didn't go, or the toys we didn't buy for the kids, we just save, so that one day we had enough cash that we could go buy it was used, let's be honest, it wasn't brand new, but a used minivan so that, because our growing family. So we did that years ago. And then we did that even before we left White Horse. The blue minivan is the same thing. We skimped and scraped so we had enough so we could purchase that blue minivan that somebody was selling to us. And the blue minivan, oh man, it's leather. It's got a DVD system in it. Like, it is state of the art. But we gave up and saved a lot for that. We didn't go on vacation that year because that minivan, that was a systems upgrade. I wonder if we do the same, though, when it comes to our time with the Lord, when it comes to our faith, when it comes to our relationship with Christ. Would you say, hey, you know what? In my schedule, my agenda this coming week, or even today, I think it's pretty full. But I'd be willing to give something up so I could spend more time here. That's a challenge. That's what challenged me when I read the scripture. I thought, man, I do a lot for the kingdom. I'm busy. But how much time do I spend with the King who's in charge of his kingdom? In his word. I'm telling you, this is the greatest treasure that could be found, and would you give it all up for it? This is the greatest gift that could be under your Christmas tree this year. Don't wait till then to open it, but anyways, you know what I'm saying? Like, think about when, I really hope that this Bible will hold itself together. You pray for you. You know, hold it together. A lot of tape and stuff holding it together right now. That my kids could inherit that. One of my kids could inherit that. And one day they'll open it later on in life and look at it and go, look at that little footnote my dad put in there. Wow, there's lots of value in that. That's treasure. You know, when we get around the Christmas table this year, we'll probably do it. We don't do it often because it's like my great-great-grandmother's, you know, china that they sat around a table with during the World War. And they probably sat around that table, and Dad wasn't probably across the table. And the son probably wasn't across the table because he was at war. And they sat down, they had a meal around that plate. I tell you, when I pull that plate out, you don't put it in the dishwasher after, man. You hand wash that thing, and you're like, you don't give it to the kids. Wee-hee! You know, like, you're just like, whoa. You know, it's like treasure, that plate. Because there's so much history. There's so much story to that. There's so much. Is that the same here? There's so much history right there. There's so much value right here. I don't want to lose those things. It's so valuable to me. I won't put it in the dishwasher. I'm going to, you know, really take care of it. I'm going to make sure we don't mess around with it, eh? When we think about where this lands, okay, New Testament, Jesus is speaking. He's trying to teach us something. If we lived in the Old Testament, there is a similar story as always. There's a type and a shadow. There's an example in the Old Testament. So let's go find it. Proverbs chapter 2. So lots of times in the Old Testament, people were looking like Solomon, were looking for wisdom. They were saying, the greatest treasure I could find is wisdom. You know, you can't buy wisdom. Sometimes it takes time to get wisdom. And so Solomon asked God for wisdom. And so we see this in Proverbs chapter 2 here, that, you know, you can search for it, you can hunt for it, you can hunt for wisdom, but here's what it says about wisdom. So Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, so just pause right there for a second. Look at the actions like we read about in the New Testament when Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like, what are you willing to give up? You actually have to do something. There's an action to it. The Bible is about application. It's about doing something with our lives. And we see here in Proverbs, this is the same thing. Look at the words. Accept, turn, apply, call out, cry aloud. Are we doing these things about the relationship, about our King, our Jesus? In verse 4 it says, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure. So when God spoke, when Jesus spoke to the disciples, he said, do you understand what I'm teaching you, what I'm telling you? They said, yes, I understand it in the New Testament, and I understand it through the Old Testament because you've been saying this like a vein all throughout Scripture from the beginning to the end. Do we understand what the treasure is? Verse 5, then you will understand the fear of God, a healthy fear of the Lord, and find knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk, whose walk is blameless. He guards the course of the just and protects the way of the faithful ones. That is treasure right there. That is the greatest treasure that you and I can find. Look at that. If we are obedient to him, we call out to him, we accept him, we turn to him, look at those things. You're going to find understanding. You're going to find knowledge. You're going to find wisdom. You're going to find victory. I'm going to be your shield. I'm going to guard you. I'm going to protect you in all of your ways. Hallelujah. That's what we're called to do. When we find that treasure, then hang on to it and don't let it go. It's the most valuable thing that you own in your house. You should put that in a safe. But make sure you pull it out every day. Don't just leave it in the safe. But you don't want somebody, if somebody broke into your house and stole it, oh, thank you, God, for that story. Think about this. Okay, back in North Vancouver. So again, grew up in Prince Rupert, went to Whitehorse, moved down to Vancouver, North Vancouver, found my beautiful wife, Omley. Hello. And so recording at the time, I'm in Walmart. You know, I kind of came rich overnight. I was working Walmart manager. All of a sudden, I had loads of money. I'm going on vacations to Hawaii, had a brand new vehicle, you know. And so I leave on vacation. And so I say, Omley, why don't you borrow the car while I'm away? You know, take care of it. And so like the first date, not, this is not her fault. Like, us all hear this? I'm trying to win points here, not go the other way, okay? So she takes it to work the very first day while I'm on training, you know, somewhere out east or something. So she takes it to work, and she phones me, and she says, like, I know you're emotional on the phone. I could hear it in your voice. And I said, what's going on? She said, oh, your car. Somebody, when I went to work, I just put it in the parking lot, and they took a crowbar and just popped the door open and stole all your CDs. And I was like, so the first thought, guys, there's a few times in life I've got this right. You know, you gotta get a win when you get a win here. So I said to her, the first thing came to my mouth, I said, are you okay? Like, who cares about the car? Like, are you okay? Like, I don't know, it was like a natural reaction. So, you know, God was helping me there because I was coordinating. I'm gonna blow this one, right? And so anyways, it was a good response, you know, not care about the car and stuff. And then after our conversation, she was okay. I said, hey, all those CDs for Christian CDs. Maybe somebody got saved. How cool would that be? Like, oops. You know, wrong car to steal. So how much value did I put in that? It was my first new, well, that new smell car. And now it was busted open, and you're just thinking, like, it's been damaged. And I thought, who cares, man? Who cares? Because the kingdom is where my value lies. Materialism comes and goes. Things come and go. They're going to fall apart. They're going to break. Your house will just disintegrate at some point in life. But the word of God stands forever. So I pray that that would be our heart's desire as we look at this together, that we would see the greatest gift this Christmas season that I could have or find is the word of God. That's our treasure. That's where we find it. It just speaks to us so clearly. There are three more parables in here. I do want to just briefly touch on them. I think they're important to know. And then we'll kind of wrap it up with a kind of the therefore in verse 52. So the second parable, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had, and he bought it. I think sometimes in life, we're never guaranteed anything. Like, some people, honestly, will become financially stable. Some will be honored for their achievements or their accomplishments. Some will become doctors and teachers and theologians and janitors and bus, you know, drivers. And, like, it doesn't matter. We're all going to find something. But no matter where we land, do we find true life in that? Because those careers will come and go as well. But if we find the true riches, the true blessing of our relationship with Jesus, because we don't want counterfeit. If we think about pearls as an example, now for us men, we understand that. If we go to a certain stores, retail stores, and we buy counterfeit pearls or wannabe pearls, we know we're going to spend hundreds. If you want to get the real McCoy, you're going to be spending thousands, and you know that. You want to get a rock. You know, we can make jewels now, earthly jewels. We can make those. And so the counterfeit version of diamonds are quite cheap. You're spending maybe hundreds. If you want to get the real McCoy, though, it's going to cost you a lot. You're going to cost tens of thousands of dollars for the real diamond, the real thing. And so we don't want counterfeit pearls. When we find the right one, we've been looking all of our lives for something. And the only thing that will fill that is the Word of God in Jesus. That's the greatest pearl that we can find. That's the greatest thing that we can connect to. That's where we'll find all of our joy and happiness and delight. That's worth giving up everything for. I want to give up everything for Jesus. I want to give up everything for His Word. I want to follow Him all the days of my life. So there's the difference between the pearl there. The third parable is about the net. And so we'll just look at the verse 47. It says, once again, so again, third story here, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it out to the shore. They sat down, they collected the good fish in baskets. It's a nice place for a fish. And they threw away the bad fish. And I don't want to read 49 and 50. Again, that's talking about the end times. And I'll refer to that in just a moment. But preaching the gospel is like casting the net out. As God, when the word of God goes out, it's like casting a net into the sea of the world. And in it, you'll catch all kinds of people. And when you collect them together, then God says He'll do the separating, you know, the righteous from the unrighteous, godly from the ungodly, whatever you want to say. But the message goes out regardless. There's a net always. Everybody hears the gospel. There's nobody on the earth at this point probably that can say, you know, I've never heard the gospel. It's preached all the time. Every second of every day, there's a gospel, a download, a video, or something going out there. And so what does that really mean for you and I? Like, God in the end will kind of separate, you know, the good fish from the bad fish. So let's look at another parable just for a second. I'm going to throw in a fifth parable just for fun. We're still in the same book. If we go to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24, there's a story here of this parable that says there was a landowner that threw out good seed on his land. You know, like a good, you know, you would do that. You throw a good seed. You want to grow, you know, corn, grain, whatever it is, throw out good seed. That night, it says in the story, though, the devil, the enemy, came and threw a bunch of weeds out there, a bunch of weed seeds. And so the landowner woke up the next day and said, that's a good day. And his workers were like, why are all these weeds in your field? Pay us to go take all the weeds out. And the landowner said, don't you dare do that. As you're pulling out the weeds, you will damage the good, you know, the good grain. So let the weeds there. When harvest time comes and when we collect all the weeds and the good grains, I'll separate it at that point. And so for me, that brings such clarification. And when Jesus shared that with his disciples, they said, do you understand what I am teaching you? And the disciples said, yep. Yeah. Because I think they may have even thought about, like, okay, God, you picked 12 disciples. One of them, Judas Iscariot, we're a little bit sketched out on. You know, we're not quite sure about that guy. He's a little bit out there. He's pulling money out of the box. He's kind of skimming off the top. We're not sure about that guy. Should we kick him out? Should we take Judas Iscariot and throw him to the wolves? And we see clearly here the disciples said, do you understand what I'm teaching you? And they said, absolutely we do. We could see it in a disciple. We could see that. God didn't remove him. He left him with the 12. He could see it in the basket of fish as well. God says, I'm going to throw my net. I'm going to throw the gospel out. And whoever can hear it will come in. We might bring others along for the ride, but God will be the judge and He will decide who's right and who's just and who's unjust. Even in the landowner is God and it's God's field. And God is, they're asking God, what should we do with these weeds here? He says, leave them alone. Let them grow with us. Let them be around us. So for you and I, isn't that a wonderful thought? We don't have to worry about, you know, hey, I don't know if this person's saved or unsaved. Or should we be hanging around with that person or not hanging around with that person? God will judge them in the end. It says at the very end of the age. Until then, we bring relationship. We bring reconciliation. We bring love. We love our neighbors. We love those that love Jesus, those that don't love Jesus, those that hate us, those that love us. We just love people. That's all God is saying. And in the end, he'll decide. Oh, it's so good to know. Thank you, God, for taking that burden off of my shoulders. You're the judge. You will figure it out. We don't have to worry about it. Let's look at the very last parable here in verse 51 and 52. And again, we'll see the therefore statement, kind of the recapping statement. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked them. Yes, they replied. I really hope now that something has resonated with you. As we look at Scripture, we think, I hope I learned something today. And here's why it's so important. So he said here in verse 52, he said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like this, the owner of a house who brings out his storeroom, new treasures, as well as old ones as well. So what does that mean? Let me just take a drink of water before I say what that. So this person is like, when it refers to like the house owner, the housekeeper, the person who brings the gospel across is like somebody that we have in our church who does a great job. We bring in lots of guest speakers. You've heard lots of great evangelists, great communicators that preach the gospel in a way that help us really understand and can relate to a bunch of things. We actually have a really great one. Pastor Ben, when he comes up once a month, he just nails it. I love it how he just connects the scripture together. So we've got somebody like that in our own church. But Jesus compares this person, again, somebody who takes care of the house so that they talk about things of old, things of past, but also bring across new understanding. So what do we think about scripture like that? What does that mean? So we can look at it in a couple ways. We can say, hey, as we look at the Old Testament, and we're able to remember and relate it to something in the New Testament, that could be a similar thought. Think about your own household. Some of us do this. You do harvesting, canning, all that kind of stuff. Hey, last year, my fruit tree, and you know, we really got fishing a lot and all that kind of stuff. You know, I've prepared that so that when you invite me over, you'll pull some of that. I'm just having fun with you. We'll pull some of that out, and you'll say, hey. Also in our garden this year, we've got some nice salad. The lettuce is doing good, less bugs this year. The cherry tree is cooking this year. So you'd pull out something right off your tree that's new, but you'd also bring something from old. And so when you and I, every time we look at scripture, you might say, Pastor, I've actually read a book on what you just spoke on. I understand that. You might say, oh, that Old Testament thing. Yeah, that was from the Old Testament. But what it did in my life is it brought something new as well. I learned something new this morning. So as we look at treasures, we're reminded sometimes of Sunday school stories. But what it does is it brings something brand new for us. I think we've really got to understand this. Oh, please, Jesus. This is not something you ever finish. It's not like every other book where you're like, good book, you pass it on to somebody. You should actually pass on the Bible to other people too. It's cool to do. But the Word of God is something that you're never done with. You're actually in our lifetimes. There's not enough time to understand this completely. So that every time you and I open it, we'll remember something that we've learned before, something of old. But every time you open it and you look at something, there'll be something new for you that day. That's what that's referring to. So I hope in all those parables and all that teaching about understanding, you know, nets and fishing and parables of what the kingdom of heaven is like, it's like this. It's something old, but it's something brand new today. And I hope we take something away. Well, I pray in Jesus' name that as we go this Christmas season and we got holidays and time off, that we would learn something brand new that God wants to teach you this season. He wants to speak to you. It's like a treasure. He wants you to find it. And I pray that we would find it afresh. It'd be fresh, like it'd be brand new, like you've never read it before this year. I pray that for each one of us in Jesus' name. So let me just pray for us. So God, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truth of your Word. Father, I like the idea as I visualized like veins of ore and minerals in the world that they kind of just, we're trying to find them. And your Word is like that, that it's all connected, that we'll find it no matter where we dig around. I thank you, God, that you are the treasure. God, we want to find it. We want to give everything up for the treasure, the kingdom, a relationship with Jesus. I pray that we would be willing to lay whatever it is down. God, that was the burden on my heart as I read this. What haven't I laid down? What obstacle is in my way? What busyness, what schedule, what have I overcommitted to that's taking me away from time with you? So please help me to navigate that well. Please reveal to me what that is. And Father, in Jesus' name, I repent of that. I give it to you right now. So God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to fill my life up with that kind of stuff. I don't want to be distracted by that. I want to spend time with my Heavenly Father. I want to spend time with Jesus. So help me to do that better today and this week, moving forward, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.